Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, August 8th. I'm back with you here. We've been auditioning co-hosts for the past few days. Today, we're taking a break from that, and we got a full house here with me. You guys should definitely join us on Facebook as well as in audio. And we're on, of course, on Facebook, go to LA Talk Radio's page. You'll see us there. We have three beautiful people here. And it's always a great pleasure to have the show here and meet new people all the time. So we're going to go around the table. And I'll tell you that I thought all three of them came together. And then it turned out that I screwed up again. But you'll see, in the end, it won't be a screw up at all, because things happen for a reason, you know. And I think, just like I told you before, that I almost killed myself, and apparently it wasn't my time yet, you know. I felt it was like a guardian angel or something watching over me, you know. So that's it. But we're going to go around the table, and first I want to introduce Daniel Beaugrand. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for joining us. I thought you had the fortune of working with these two beautiful women, but maybe in the future.
Not. Yeah, maybe
so
in the future.
You met in the elevator, though, right?
Sure
so,
did.
Yeah, so we're all going to the same place pretty much. Oh, that's funny, man. So, okay, and then Cassidy Davis. Welcome
Hello.
To the show, Cassidy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And we connected through Cameron Kelly.
Yes.
How do you know her? Is she a friend of yours?
Yeah, she's a dear friend of mine.
Really?
And she was in season one of Adulting as well. She's phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah, she's really great.
Okay. Well, that's good. So I definitely have to watch it, because, and now that I know you guys,
It's
a lot more fun to watch something when you know the people, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And you brought with you a friend, Mallory Fucella. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. And you're part of Adulting as well, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So what's Adulting?
Adulting is a comedic web series about two girls who just graduated from college, and they go out into the real world and try to be adults successfully, and they're not very good at it.
Really?
Yeah.
All those things that no one teaches you.
Yeah. Right? And how did the idea come about?
My first year in LA was just really rough. And so I looked at what happened that first year. I came in really confident, like I knew what was going to go down.
Right.
And then just didn't know what I didn't know. Like I didn't know how to apartment hunt, and I didn't know what a head of garlic was. And so all these things I was learning.
What the hell's a head of garlic?
Exactly. Thank you, Sam.
And I've lived here 40 years, for crying out loud. You never heard of that.
Yeah, so it was based on like all my failures. It was my first year in LA, and I thought I could make this a really sad documentary, or I could make this a funny web series. And so Mallory's my co-star, and she helped write the second season as well, and producer and all that good stuff.
That's cool. So, did you guys know each other before you started working on this together?
We went to the same college, but weren't really connected in college.
You didn't know each other in college?
We knew of each other.
Yeah.
No. And then when we moved out here, we connected, and Cassidy approached me. She was like, I have this idea. I think you brought over a jug of wine.
Obviously.
In my memory, it's like one of those cheap Santa Rosa.
Thank
or whatever.
You for outing me. Yep. Thank you so much.
Because she was like, I don't know if she's going to say yes.
I'm so nervous. I was like, what if she doesn't?
Yeah, she came over and was like, I have this idea for a funny series about, all these things that no one teaches you. I don't know how to navigate life. I think it's really relatable. And I was like, let's do that.
Yeah.
Sounds funny.
Wow, very cool. So did you guys move here about the same time? But separately, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Where did you go to school?
University of Pittsburgh.
Hail to Pitt.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you guys from back east too? Or really?
Yeah. Where are you from? Philadelphia area.
Philadelphia and you too?
Same. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they get to go to college near their home, you know? Yeah. You didn't have to travel anywhere.
No, and then I got as far away as I could.
Yeah. That seems to be the story, you know? So, and Daniel, what about you? Did you grow up here?
I didn't. I grew up in New Orleans, and I went to school at Tulane there for about 2 years, and then I went to school in New York at Vassar.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What did you take, like film and stuff?
Actually, I took English. So I was an English major.
Really?
Yeah.
What were you hoping to do with English?
I was hoping that English would help with like the script part of, filmmaking, and I figured I'd kind of figure out the rest.
Okay.
To me, that's like the hardest part is like writing. That's like, you know. Yeah.
That's true. Sure. That's true. But do you feel it helped you though?
I do. Actually, I really do. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool because, you know, sometimes you go to school, you end up being interested in totally something else than what you majored in, you know, which is fine. You know, they say today, if you take something, you don't have to work in exactly that same field, you know.
Right.
You can take skills and stuff you learned from something else and go with that, you know. So, but you're a filmmaker.
Right.
And your latest film is called Low.
Right.
It's a short film.
Yeah.
And, of course, our short films are always coming from Catherine, and we want to thank Catherine once again for sending always the great ones. And I always tell everybody that Catherine wins awards. I mean, her clients win awards, you know. And interestingly enough, she's the publicist, by the way.
Oh, great.
And she's British, yeah. And she brings us a lot of short filmmakers. So, like last year in the Oscars, 4 of the 5 nominees were her clients.
Wow. Right.
And the 5th film won. Can you imagine?
Oh my
gosh. How disappointing, right? But hey, you get to the Oscar with 4 clients.
Yeah, she's knocking on the door. That's awesome.
She's great.
So yeah, you picked the right one,
for
you
sure,
know?
For sure.
So when did you make the film? Is it showing already, right?
Yeah, it just had its world premiere 2 weeks ago at LA Shorts Fest.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm just seeing where it goes. So
really?
Yeah.
How long did it take you to make the film?
The shooting took 4 days. Uh-huh. And the post-production, the editing took way longer.
Like a year or something,
it took
right?
so long, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the script was probably a month to write or something. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And this is all yours? The script is yours?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you directed it and everything?
Right.
How did the production go about? Did you get a producer or did you do that yourself too?
I produced it too, but I also had a couple of my buddies produce also.
Wow.
Yeah.
And was this your first film?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're already at the film festival. How did that, when did it play? Last week or something?
A couple weeks ago.
A couple weeks ago?
Yeah, it was great. It was
well received.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience getting to see it finally, like, you know, with a bunch of people. And
it was on a big screen, right?
It was on a big screen,
so
like
cool.
The sound. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Great. Yeah.
And it looks like a powerful film. I wish we could play you the trailer, but really the trailer is silent. You have to watch it. And then there's a little music in the end. But tell us essentially what the film is about.
The film is about a guy named Jeff who's very down on his luck, and he misses out on a job opportunity, and because of that, he makes a very rash and foolish decision to rob a convenience store,
uh-huh.
And things end up going really badly, and and it goes on from there. So.
Yeah, but the trailer looked nice, right?
I mean, really
it's
nice.
Like, you know,
really
they show good. The guy, and suddenly it's like, you know, it becomes clear there's a guy watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, yeah. So there's not a lot being said in the film, probably, right?
Yeah, there's dialogue, but a lot of it is visually told.
Visual,
yeah.
And
yeah.
That's cool. That's the power of film, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
When you can do this. And that's what I'm saying. To me, the trailer was powerful, you know?
Yeah. Thank
because
you.
you made something happen in like a few seconds.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
yeah, very cool. Enticing.
Thank you.
You guys must be to movies too and stuff, right?
Be into movies?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
So now... Okay, so I wanted to ask you about your show. Did this start airing already? Are you running it already?
Yeah, season one is out and has been out, and our second season actually releases tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yes.
And how many shows in the season?
5 episodes each.
5 episodes. And how long are the episodes?
They're around 8 minutes in length.
Yeah, and that's about the attention span of anybody, right?
Yeah, that's kind of what we were going for. Yeah. Like,
do you want to say your infamous quote?
What's that?
I said this at a festival, and I've regretted it ever since. But basically, someone gave me advice that they were like, don't make... Can I curse on this?
Okay. Of course, okay. Fuck yeah.
They're like, don't make an episode that's longer than it would take someone to take a shit.
Oh, and really? So they can watch it on their phone,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, 6-7 minutes, okay, to play... Time to get off the pot, right?
Yeah, that's usually... that's what I said, and now I regret saying it. And I said it again. Great.
Yeah why
I
not?
Like when she
what
says
the hell?
It.
Yeah.
It makes sense for all you future filmmakers. The best piece of advice I can give you. No, I'm just kidding.
And your movie, Low, how long is that one?
It's 11 minutes.
Eleven minutes?
Yeah.
So you have to tell a story in 11 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big deal, man.
Yeah, for right? sure. For sure, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was part of the challenge, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And you did the casting, too? How many characters are in the film?
There's five.
Five people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you imagine putting this together? I mean, look, you guys are partners and everything. It's still hard to do these things. And yet he did it all by himself, you know?
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, so you must be pretty talented. Do you have any siblings or anything? Or
I do, yeah. Child? I have an older brother and older sister, and everyone's been crazily supportive. So
yeah.
Yeah. I talked to my brother about this movie so much. It's like, that's where I get a lot of, you know.
Yeah.
Like, no, change that, you know, try to get a lot of opinions. So
that's cool. So it's not really alone. You had a lot of people around.
Yeah, I listen to friends, anybody that, you know, I definitely am a big believer in putting it in front of people and trying to get a reaction. What isn't working?
Right.
How can I make this better? And all that.
Did it start as a short or did you have it as a feature?
It started as a short. Okay. Yeah.
Are you looking to make features too? Or?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But it's easier to do short films.
Yeah,
first,
for sure.
And like you said, it takes longer to put the film together than to shoot. People think the shooting is the main part, but it's just a small part of it. Then you have to tell the story with all the shots that you have.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I was the editor on it too. I work as an editor.
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah. So that took a while. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool. I love doing things myself too. I mean, look at the station. You know, I started because I wanted a radio show, so I started putting things together. And before you knew it, you know, now we have like 80 shows and everybody's like happy and you meet a lot of people. And it's a great thing, you know. And I get up in the morning with a lot of energy wanting to do this.
Love that.
So it's important, and you guys are doing something you love as well. Let me ask you this. How many people are in the show? Is it only the two of you?
No, so the girls, especially this season, we really brought in the world of the girls. So they interact with all kinds of people throughout the show. I think other than us, there's like 15 or 20 other characters in the in the show.
And you guys wrote it too?
Yeah.
How do you write 20 characters that are different? I mean, I could write two characters that are different from each other, you know?
Oh, that's a good question.
To invent characters, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think it primarily comes from your own experience, right?
Yeah.
Like either what grinds your gears or what is relatable to other people. Like we have a friend visit and like we wanted her to be very different from the two of us. So it's like it was easy to create her because we knew these characters really well.
Uh-huh.
And she just had to be a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to give anything away, so I'm talking so vaguely.
Tune in tomorrow.
But every episode starts with a different person in the world failing at being an adult. So we always start with a cold open of someone that the girls don't know but are in the same world as them. And they ultimately fail at something they're trying to do in the world of adulting.
Uh-huh.
So they were like, there are a lot of the characters that we see that aren't the two girls, but they're not necessarily like super fleshed out characters. They're just like people in the world.
Right. And what about, do they interact with their parents too? The characters?
Yeah, a little bit. There's we had a bonus episode of Thanksgiving, and we explored like that first holiday where you don't have family, so you have to make a turkey in the microwave. Like we didn't know how to make a turkey. And in that episode, my character calls her mom, and her mom reveals that she's not paying for a ticket home, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, those girls need to grow up, I'm telling you.
We're trying.
It's a pretty cool thing, though. You know, I mean, I like it, adulting. So where can people see this? Like, where do you put it? Like, where do you distribute the show?
So we have a website, adultingwebseries.com. That's where season two will be dropping tomorrow. And then in the next few days, we'll also be on Amazon Prime.
Oh, really?
You can see the first season there, too.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. And what about, like, you're not going to put it on YouTube and places like that, too?
So it is on YouTube, and then we just embed it into our website
to
make it easy
cool.
for you to find. Yeah.
Yeah,
if you type
in
adulting in YouTube, there's all kinds of stuff.
A lot of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So go to adultingwebseries.com.
Yeah, you got it.
And that's where you'll see everything. You can see the, so you have all the episodes on here and everything.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Wow. Even a donate button. Hey, guys, go donate. We need more shows, you know? No, but this is cool, you know, because you're like making this on a shoestring, and it's because it's a passion of yours, I would imagine.
Yeah, and we had a lot of incredible crew members who came in and helped us this season and weren't getting paid their full rate, but were just like dedicated and excited about the project. And a lot of what we accomplished this season was hugely due to the super generous and super hardworking crew that we worked with. Yeah.
Right.
Phenomenal people.
And obviously, you know, I mean, both you guys and you, Daniel, instead of waiting for something to come to you, you're saying here, I'm going to do my own project, right? Again, that's what I did too. You know, I'm like, who's going to hire me for radio? Nobody knows me. You know, I've got an accent. Who gives a shit, right? So you know what? I got to do my own thing.
I'm amazing. I'm going to start it myself.
Let people know it. And if they don't care, they don't care. At least I'm in front of a microphone. So,
yeah.
But it's become an 11-year thing. So I'm very proud of it.
Wow, congratulations.
You know? That's so awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. 11 years we've been doing this. And I'm between co-hosts now. So, God, am I glad there's no co-host today, because we managed a full house and not having to bring another microphone here. But it's funny how, you know, I feel I'm screwing up, but afterwards it seems like the best thing ever, you know? I mean, you know, let's say Daniel just came in today and I don't have a co-host. It'd be like one-on-one. It'd be cool and stuff, but it's like not like a party or something, you know?
Right.
So this worked out for the best,
it's
you know?
It's the party.
Yeah. For sure.
You know, and if I had a co-host here, I have three women here. They'd ignore me completely, you know? So, so at least I got another guy in the room.
For sure.
Yeah, yesterday I auditioned. There were actually two girls here because I made a mistake and invited both, and they became like good friends.
Oh, they did? I was going to ask if they like had to duke it out.
Yeah, you see, so it happened to me 2 days in a row. And I try to write things, but, you know, it doesn't always work out, I guess.
Happy accident.
Yeah. Because I think we booked you, and then Catherine asked me if I had the 8, and I didn't mark it down, so whatever.
Right.
Or maybe the other way around. But at any rate, enough talking about that. So, Daniel, I wanted to know, how did you get the idea for the film?
So initially it was honestly just kind of fragments of things that you don't know what they mean at first. So I had an image of a quarter with blood on it, which is features in the film, and then like a train station, just stuff like that that's vague and kind of superficial. And then I didn't know what any of that meant. And then what happened is that I read Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment, and that kind of jump-started my entire writing process, because then I got a lot of ideas that were kind of related to that. Yeah.
What's that book about? I've heard of it. I never read it. It's one of the classics.
Yeah, it's about a guy who makes a really horrible mistake, and the same with mine. It's a lot of guilt that follows him around, and
So this guy also, it's like a psychological thing more.
Yeah,
right?
Kind of. Yeah, a bit.
Yeah. It's not about special effects and everything. There's no time to do that.
Yeah, I don't have the budget to do that either. Yeah.
This is drama, pure drama.
Pure drama, yeah.
Wow.
But there's some funny moments, I think, you know, and there's some like, but it's especially at the beginning, you know, even the teaser is a little funny to me anyways, that it's kind of funny. But
yeah.
It's more like the awkwardness of life, kind of funny. I don't know.
Right. So there's humor in the movie too?
A little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty dire situation there.
Yeah.
Where do you put the humor? You know, but I guess, you know, you can always find something funny.
Yeah. I can.
Very nice. And what are you thinking of like doing moving forward? I mean, do you have more like short film ideas than you?
Well, right now I just finished writing my first feature. I'm finishing writing my first feature. And I think I'm going to write another feature by the end of the year. That's the goal. So I'm just focusing on writing primarily.
So you're full of stories, huh?
I'm full of stories. Yeah. For sure.
Awesome. Well, we'll be looking forward to it.
Thanks.
It sounds pretty cool. So now when people want to see short films, they have to go to festivals, right?
Yeah, usually at first, but the plan is to eventually put it up on the internet, put it up on Vimeo, probably, or YouTube, probably Vimeo. Because I want everybody to have access to it. That's really important to me.
Yeah, I know. But usually you do this, they said short film is sort of like to build your repertoire, pretty much, your body of work, so people will take you seriously for feature films, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it's about.
Pretty much, yeah. definitely.
So you go on that route. I mean, you're taking whatever it takes, right?
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
Well, you're very talented. I don't see why you won't, you
thank
know.
You,
but
thank you.
But as you know, so it takes to know you exist, right?
Right. Yeah.
So you guys created your own thing, too. So how long ago have you guys, did you guys come to L.A.? Did I ask you that? No.
No, three years ago.
3 years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So you've learned about this town the hard way, right? You heard that you learned it can eat you up alive if you don't know how to survive here.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Puts sure.
Hair on your chest.
Hair on your chest.
Just like it
hopefully
makes you,
when
like...
you're a guy.
Just make sure, I mean, I have thick skin. I always have had thick skin because I was taught at an early age, like, if you want to do anything else, please go do that because you're going to be a happier person.
Really? And don't care about what people say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and if you really need to be an actor or a producer and making content, then, like, go do it. There's but if you can find anything else that's going to make you happy, go and do that because you'll have a simpler life.
Right.
And, you know, I've thought that my whole way through, so... LA's it's been challenging too, but I think it's definitely a mindset.
Yeah, right.
LA is a mindset, not a place.
It really is, right?
Oh my gosh. Put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, sounds like a poem.
Wow.
And well, sounds good. And Cassidy, do you have any siblings?
I do, yeah. I have an older brother, and he's a producer on the project as well.
Really?
Yeah.
He lives here?
No, he lives in New York, but he's a big Adulting fan and a huge supporter of us. Yeah.
He's so supportive. It's the sweetest thing.
Yeah. Now, do you think, in your plans, do you think that this is going to help you go into bigger things, like maybe network TV and, you know, or cable, whatever?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the ultimate goal is to have the show have somewhere to live really fully.
Exactly. And it's not even networks or cable anymore. I mean, now it's all the streaming services, really.
Yeah. And
right? That's what
true.
Matters.
Exactly. And we kind of think like this story can be told for many years. I mean, you never stop learning how to be an adult. You never stop having adulting accents. I mean, my mom is having like a thing with her neighbor right now where the trees are on her side. You know what I mean? It's like, that's adulting right there.
Yeah,
so
right?
It's just like, you know, it never stops. So we really think this could go for a while.
We're going to be 90 and it'll be adulting season 55.
In a nursing home.
In a nursing home.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow. And you have all kinds of people on the show, I would imagine, and stuff, right? Is it more like a female perspective on things? Well, maybe because it's you. I mean, not maybe, but obviously because it's you.
Yeah, that was important for both of us, like that it was female produced and we had an almost all female crew. And so the first episode that releases tomorrow is the two girls on a double date. And from the perspective of kind of recent dates that her and I had both been on.
I see. Okay. But you do have guys on the show like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But absolutely. Told from, I would say our perspective.
From your perspective.
And it's directed by a woman and by Jenna Simmons. And there's all kinds of women involved. So it's really a
really
cool production. Yeah.
Did you have pretty naughty moments there? I mean, not visually, but I mean, when you talk about things and things like that, any situations?
What do you mean naughty?
Well, I don't know. Talking about sex or
sexual
situations.
Well,
Can I say that, I guess?
It.
Yeah. So the double date episode ends and the boy, can I say this?
Yeah,
are you sure?
Okay.
The boys come home with the girls and like they're texting each other how neither one of the guys got us off. And they're like, we're like texting about our fake orgasms. Like she knows my real orgasm and my fake orgasm.
And she had to record. That was so funny. She had to record the soundbite of a fake orgasm. And the whole crew is standing silent and Mallory's in my room recording it. We're all like, this is so
and Jenna's like, less porny. And I'm like, okay. More natural.
Quite different from your film, right?
It's a little different. You've
never recorded an orgasm sound for you?
I'll get to that.
Yeah, I recommend it.
Eventually.
There's no sex in my
Any love interests?
There's a couple, but
remember it's brief, you know. Does the whole film take place in the convenience store?
No, it takes place partially in the convenience store and a lot of it takes place in a train station. So I had to rent out a train station. it was crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, where was the train station?
It was in Glendale Transportation Center. And they were really accommodating, really nice, and all the people that were there, because it was, you know, it's a public space, so you can't tell them, you can't, you know, move around, or but everybody was really cool. They just saw the camera and they were like, all right, we're gonna
do our own thing.
Wow, leave these guys alone. So
You see, it takes a lot of courage to do this stuff, you know, because it's I don't know, it seems sometimes too big to do yourself, you know, and yet you do it because you don't even realize how big it is, right? You just kind of do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking out in the lobby too. Like, he wrote his and we wrote the second season, and then we're producing it and we're like, who the hell wrote this?
Yeah,
like, how are we going to get a train station? How are we going to get a rooftop? And then you figure it out.
And that's filming on location, I think, is one of the hardest things for us, at least. It was like all kinds of challenges we didn't think about.
For sure. Definitely. Yeah. A lot of sounds and things that were like, ah. It's another train. We got to stop.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Now, let me ask you also, ladies. So what do you do? Do you spend all your time on this? I mean, it can't be paying the bills, right? So how are you guys? What do you do in your other time? Cassidy.
Well, yeah, it doesn't pay the bills yet, but we, you know, hope it does soon.
Yes.
But yeah, we both are pursuing acting as well. So that's a full-time job. And then we also have a bunch of other part-time jobs that we do during the day to pay our rent.
Yeah. You see, there you go. You're responsible people.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people come into this town, they put up a sign, hey, I'm an actor, and that's it. They don't do anything else. And then they're poor.
Right.
And you go, you know, well, who are you blaming here? You know, you can't blame L.A., you know, but people do.
Yeah. What I've learned is that you have to really hustle. I mean, one of my acting teachers called L.A. is the Olympics of acting, and you have to, no Olympian stops training and no Olympian stops working. And I really love that analogy. I think it's so true. I mean, we're surrounded by filmmakers and actors, and if you're not working your ass off to make it happen, it's not going to happen for you.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. You know, you got to make yourself seen, right? I mean, somehow you got to stand out, you know, you got to make people see that, hey, this is what I can do, because there's a lot of talented people in this town.
Oh, yeah.
But nobody knows about them, you know?
Right.
So,
and like you said earlier, like the talent, like you could be the most talented person, but if you don't have the persistence and tenacity.
Right.
Like,
people won't know. Yeah. Yeah. People won't know, and you won't get anywhere, you know, because you got to really. I mean, people, like somebody also said something about L.A. They're like, there's a huge line here. You got to get in line. When you're arriving in this town, you can't get to the front all of a sudden.
That's
you
good.
Know?
I like that.
There's a lot of people waiting for the same thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
So, but when you look at it this way, it's pretty discouraging, you know, to come to L.A. But people come nevertheless because they have the dreams.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So a little bit about your backgrounds, guys. So you've got a brother, right?
Yeah.
Oh, just the one brother,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just the one, yeah.
Yeah. And were you guys close growing up and everything?
Yeah.
Are you close in age?
Yeah, we're 16 months apart. He's 16 months older than me. And we moved around a lot as kids, so we got really close throughout that process.
Really? Yeah. How come you guys moved around a lot?
My dad's job moved us around, so he's a sports engineer. That's not really his title. Sorry, Dad, I don't know the actual
Sports engineer,
He designed sporting equipment, and so he just switched sports a lot. So we grew up most of our life in Italy, and then we came to Philly, and now they're in North Carolina. They just move around a lot.
Oh, wow. So you lived in Italy for a few years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you learned Italian, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, it makes it much more marketable.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
Thank you.
No, I mean, knowing languages and stuff, you know? And Italian is always, it's a very romantic language, people say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wouldn't mind knowing Italian. Do you want to say something in Italian?
Do you want me to say something?
Yeah.
Adulting Webster.
Adulting Webster. That's Italian.
Okay, well, we won't put you on the spot. Then. I know, it's like, can you say something in that language? It's like, what? What do you want me to say? That's funny. And what about your parents? What were they doing when you grew up?
My mom is a preschool teacher. And my dad is a salesman for Canon Office Solutions.
Really?
Yeah.
And Canon still exists?
Canon still exists.
Really? Because everybody's disappeared already, you know?
Yeah, I know. He says it's good.
Yeah. No, that's true. Canon is still around.
Yeah.
He says it's good. All right. If he says it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
Awesome. And what about you? How's How many siblings did you say you have?
I have two. I have an older brother and older sister.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you're the youngest.
I'm the youngest, yeah.
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 What was that like growing up? Do you have like a big difference between you?
Yeah, kind of. Like about 10, 12 years between. But well, they're both older. Like about 35 age. But one's 35, I think. The other one's 33. I probably got that wrong. It's terrible.
That's okay. We don't need the specifics.
Right.
Too much information.
Right. but yeah, no, it was great. It was great seeing them. I feel like I learned a lot through watching them grow up and, uh-huh. you know, got the whole, I don't know, you take up a lot of lessons, like just seeing everybody just do their own thing and, you know, independently. And then you kind of, you definitely take a lot in. So I think
that's
it was good.
True.
Yeah.
And what was it like growing up in New Orleans? I mean,
so I was born in New Orleans and I lived there for 2 years when I was a baby. And then I actually moved to Honduras, which was where my dad is from. So I lived there for 6 years.
Oh.
And we came back to the States and moved around. We were in North Louisiana and then back to New Orleans. And then I went to school in New York and now I'm here.
So you've been all over.
I've been all over, yeah.
Yeah, so we're all travelers pretty much.
Yeah,
what the hell,
yeah.
You know? If you're just joining us, we're talking to Mallory Fuchella and Cassidy Davis. I have to look because, you know, with the movie Low. Now, what kind of films do you have in mind, like, next? I'm really curious, like, after you made this one, what really is on your mind as far as movie?
So the next thing I'm doing is the feature I just wrote is a dark coming-of-age mystery thriller, basically. Mm. So, so that's the next thing. And then after that, I kind of want to do a comedy, I think. So
yeah.
I like... varying, I don't know, genres and stuff.
Right. Obviously, with a feature film, you're not going to do everything yourself. You really need a crew for that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be a little different than,
right. So you're going to have to partner with somebody, no?
Oh, definitely, yeah. But, you know, I had a lot of...
there you go.
Yeah.
See, that's what it takes.
You say comedy?
Yeah.
Here, cast me.
Yeah.
It's so funny, you know? Everybody's after the same jobs, and there's not a lot of them, you know?
No, you but it's great because you get to meet people, and then you collaborate and get to do stuff.
You really
And
that's what it's about. It's about meeting people, you know?
Yeah.
And I meet so many people coming through here every day that it's unbelievable. The amount of talent in this town, you know? There's really a lot, so you have to compete with a lot, you know, and be original and stuff. So, but what's the story, the dark drama thing?
So it's the story of a young photojournalist who gets caught up in kind of a murder mystery thing. So I try to make it sounds kind of like very, it sounds almost generic in a way, but that's kind of part of it because I kind of subvert a lot of the genre, which I like doing a lot. I like taking a genre that everybody kind of knows and loves and then kind of trying to like do it in a kind of a different way. So,
that's interesting. So you consciously do that?
I don't think it's that conscious, actually. I just think I just do it and it comes out that way. Like even with the short, it kind of came out that way. It's a little strange, but it's also very, hopefully very accessible. I just have kind of noticed that in my writing that I start with something that is kind of like a pop song movie thing, and then it turns into like kind of a strange pop song thing, you know. But that's kind of the stuff that I like. So,
yeah, very interesting. I love that. You know, I mean, I really admire people that do their own thing. You know, and that's what I'm seeing, because also in this day and age, we have the tools, we have the ability, and it doesn't cost you, you know, like millions of dollars to create a web series or something, you know, and you don't need to have celebrities and you know,
right.
You do things yourself, you know, and you figure it out. And I think that's why it's so cool, because, and at this station also, you know, we have radio shows. Everybody brings their own energy, their own personality to it, you know. So you have a variety of different things of people really wanting to be heard, wanting to be seen, wanting to be like creating things. You know,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, we beat the shit out of you as far as like the information and stuff. We know everything else. Do you guys want to like chat a little bit about what's going on? I mean, we don't need to get into politics or anything because we don't do very well on politics here on the show. I don't like it because what I realized with politics is like everybody's talking and nobody's listening. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So So yeah, let's go into something else. I don't have the news in front of me, so I don't know. But
well, what did you already talk about your fire story on the air?
I already did, but do you want to hear about
it
again?
I kind of want to hear it in detail.
Like what I guess if I almost died, right?
Yeah,
I
that seems telling about topical. This.
That's worth talking about. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you, yeah.
But my regular listeners are like, enough of this. We heard.
Well, that's what I was asking. If they already heard it,
yeah, I don't care. Okay. What do I care? You want to hear it?
Well,
I'll tell
I was
you.
Wondering if you were spiritual or religious, and if that fire experience either changed that or.
Oh, I see. It made me. No, I'm pretty not religious, but yeah. But I mean, no, I believe strongly in God.
Okay.
I'm also a very rational, very moral person. So, whatever you want to make of that, you know. But the bottom line is that I feel. That there was like somebody helping me there, you know, someone like, I mean, I'm almost picturing somebody like pulling my face out of the fire or something, you know.
So crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I know, you know, but it's like, it's unbelievable. How did the fire sort of like stop right in front of my face where nothing happened to me? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was like a fireball.
Whoa.
You know? So anyway, briefly, the way it happened is, I was going to make a steak, so I walk up to my grill and I see one of the knobs is turned all the way. And I thought, my maid had already done it once before and all the gas was drained out. And because she cleans and she probably didn't realize she turned it, you know. I mean, I'm not blaming her for anything. She didn't know what she was doing, I guess. So I walk there and I'm already sure she had done it before. So I knew that when you do this, everything's drained. All the gas is drained. And I thought, great. Now I'm going to have to go and buy gas before I make my steak. So I walk up and I just light the fire and then open the lid. Oh, okay? Mm-hmm. Normally what you do is you walk up to your grill, you open the lid, you turn the knob, and you light the fire, right?
Right.
But here what happened is I guess some of the gas had been trapped inside. So when I lit it, it started a fire inside. I opened the lid. All the oxygen came in and boof.
Damn. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Ooh.
So, you know, you don't think about these things because you do it quickly,
right.
You know? It's like, yeah, I mean, I never opened the grill like that. Why did I do it this time? Mm. You know, because maybe I was just jaded that there's no gas, you know? So it did teach me a lesson, and that is, again, to stop getting mad at things, you know? That is my lesson in life, you know? Stop getting mad at things, you know? Because I don't get mad at people. I get mad at things, you know? Like, why isn't this computer not working? What's wrong with this email? You know, it's things like that, you know? People don't make me that angry, you know? Well, maybe a couple, but...
Did you still eat the steak, or did you go?
Was there a steak?
Or did you like go out? Did you leave the?
Yeah, what happened?
Actually,
after?
Good question. I think I made the steak.
Just blacked out. That's what I was hoping
to
hear.
No, actually, I don't even think I was eating then. I was just like, I sat outside and I saw it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just walked up to it and said, "Oh no, what did she do?" You know.
Yeah.
But also, my fault is that I did not tighten the main switch. You know, on the tank, mm-hmm. on the propane tank, there's a little switch. And I didn't do that, you know, so that could have avoided that as well. But thank you for asking. I'm alive.
Glad
and
you're here.
Yeah. What about you? What role does God play in your life?
So I was raised on religion.
Really?
I was raised Catholic, very Catholic.
Right.
I went to Catholic school.
Wow.
So now it's just an ever-changing thing, honestly.
Right.
I guess I'd call myself an agnostic because I don't want to believe in just, I think it's cocky to say there's no God, you know,
right.
But yeah, so I don't know. I know I'm a disappointment to my parents when I say this, but
no, I mean, look, it's opinions, and you know what? Opinions change as well, you know?
Yeah, right. That's what I think too. And I think a spiritual relationship changes as you grow and go through life as well.
Right.
So I'm not like finalized on anything.
Right. You'll see. It's like it changes over the years, you know? What about you? Do you have a place for God in your life, or how do you view God?
So I actually grew up Catholic also. I went to Catholic school. And very much kind of rejected that when I was younger. And
That's pretty much a story every time.
Yeah, right? Every time, right.
I don't know why Imagine they force that. You to do this. Yeah.
But it's weird, but in my short, a lot of, like, I sense this, I don't know, I feel like a lot of my Catholicism has come back with, like, a vengeance kind of.
So
order.
Interesting.
So, I don't know, yeah, it's, and I think I definitely see it as less, I'm less snooty about it, for sure, than I was back then, so it's definitely changed, and... yeah, and the short actually deals with a lot of this kind of stuff, actually. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, a lot of coincidence and a lot of that kind of...
Yeah. So, I mean, do you feel there is an intelligent force out there that created this?
Yeah, pretty much. It would take, you know, probably an hour to you know, explain what I mean by
that's
that.
That's okay.
But, like,
we have 10 minutes.
We have that, right.
But what about you, Cassidy? How do you
I was raised Episcopalian. Uh-huh. My grandfather was an Episcopalian priest. So we were raised in that arena.
Right. So all three of you really pretty much had religion in your childhood.
Yeah, my brother and I tried to reject it as hard as we could. We would, like, hide when it was time for church and, like, try to not go. But just because we thought it was boring because we were kids. But, I'm not super religious anymore. I think religion really only comes into my life when, like, a death happens. And then I, like, really believe in heaven just because, like, I can't believe that that's the last time I would have seen that person. So I think that's, like, really the only time it comes into my life. Or, like, when a near-death experience or something like that happens
but
I believe there's something else
But that makes sense because I personally think that religion started because people were afraid of death. You know, they were afraid of, like, there's nothing going to be beyond this.
Right.
Let's see what we can do to make ourselves feel better about this. And maybe that's how they discovered a God and all this, you know. And then you had different religions and you have idol worshippers, and then the Jews and the Christians came with one God and all that stuff, you know.
I knew I wasn't Catholic very specifically when I picked the hot priest to tell my sins to. There was one priest who was so fucking sexy. I was eight years old. And
Are you serious?
Yeah, and I was we could pick which priest we wanted to say our first sins to. And I still remember that very vividly. I didn't know that's why I was picking him. And then we could pick either, like, you know, the confessional, there's either a screen or you could do face-to-face. Face-to-face.
Oh, wow.
Shoot my shot with this priest.
That's true, actually. At 8 years old, I think I did have crushes on teachers, too.
Especially like that.
That does happen, right?
Yeah.
I wish you used the word sexy when you were eight. Please tell me. I'm going to go with the sexy
Bless
priest.
Me, father. Bless me, sexy father, for
that. No, I'll just go to my crush.
He'll understand.
Wow. So, I mean, to me, it's like, you're right. I mean, when you get in times of really trying times, I think that's when you look up, you know, especially when your life brings you so low. And I think almost every person gets to a point where you hit bottom, you know, you hit a low. It doesn't have to be alcohol or drugs or things like that. It can be like just stupid shit that you do, you know, and or that life has for you, you know, because you never know. Like, for example, I have a niece right now. Well, she's a niece through marriage who just got hit in an accident, you know, and both her legs were crushed.
Oh, my God. Man.
She's in the fucking hospital, and you don't know if she'll ever walk again, you know.
Oh.
And what I'm saying is it's not like she drove in a car. She was unloading her groceries from her car in front of her house, and a hit and run.
Yeah, that's
you know,
terrible.
They, So what I'm saying is, you don't know what life has for you, you know, and you have to believe that there's got to be something more than just us, you know, cosmic dust and going back to cosmic dust, you know.
I also think there's kind of a weird, I've been thinking about this a little bit, that there's a weird link between some religion and art in a weird way. Like, I know it sounds odd, but I was thinking about this, like, because I grew up Catholic, and you think about it, it's like, you know, you're so young and, you know, you don't know anything, but you're going to, like, this architecturally beautiful building with like, you know, stained glass windows and someone up on a stage singing songs and stories and all this stuff. And there's a weird kind of link there, I think, between just trying to find meaning and stuff and telling stories, because I think it's kind of part of the same thing that come that religion comes out of.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you would know, you're a storyteller. Then you'll tell people how they can find you if they want to find out more, if they want to see the film.
So I have a, there's a Twitter handle for Lo, and it's called Lo Short Film. And then there's a Facebook group for it called Lo the Short. So yeah, at Lo the Short.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
You've done a great job. I have a link to the film, so I'm going to watch it.
Awesome.
I do have the 11 minutes to spare, believe me. I don't have 2 hours. When I watch movies, I watch them four times, like in four parts.
Because 11 minute chunks.
Yeah, I can't sit more than 20 minutes. I finish the popcorn and that's it. Yeah. You know? Get me to the next activity.
Once the popcorn's out, there's no point.
Yeah. And okay, new ladies, adultingwebseries.com. You guys can find everything there, the episodes, the contact, all the social media and everything, right?
Yep, on social media, we're just at Adulting Web Series on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Sounds good. And it sounds like a fun series, you know? I mean, I can't see why anybody would not want to watch it. You guys are amazing. You're funny. You know,
thank you.
So I congratulate you for that, and thank you all for joining me today.
Thanks
you know?
For having us. Yeah, so
thank
fun.
You so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a blast today, and we had a party. You see, I mean,
oh yeah,
all we were missing is the mimosas, but that's for Friday.
What are you guys doing that?
Yeah, you guys will have to come back next time for some mimosas.
Definitely.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.